we present the news quiz with your chairman, Simon Hoggart.
Hello and welcome again to a new series of the news quiz, this week coming from the Pleasance on the Edinburgh Fringe. We start with a cutting from the Daily Telegraph, read by Peter Donaldson.
Earl Spencer, brother of the Princess of Wales, is selling the Lordship of Wimbledon to help to finance the replumbing of the family seat.
Thank you, Joan Kindred, for sending that in. Now let's meet the teams. Will you welcome first on my right, Jeremy Hardy and Miles Kington. And facing them on my left, Alan Corran and Sandy Toksvig. And before we start round one, here's a listing from The Times.
8:30, airport. At Heathrow, British Airways pilot Douglas Ord tells an audience of aerophobics that their fear of flying is groundless.
Thank you, Roy Sweetman of Warrington, for spotting that. Jeremy, question one. Whose campaigns have taken him to another place?
This will be Maurice Sarchi, now Lord Sarchi. Maurice Sarchi reminds me of Bernie Winters. And the reason is, there used to be two Sarchis, and there used to be Mike and Bernie Winters, and you could never tell which one was which. Until there was an acrimonious breakup, and I think it was Bernie insulted his brother by going on to have a successful career with a dog. And Maurice Sarchi has had a breakup with his brother and gone on to work with John Selwyn Gummer's brother, which is probably more insulting than working with a dog. And he's been made dame of something by inventing this fantastic slogan, New Labour more like Rosemary's baby, we reckon. And the Tories are cock-a-hoop because they think that this is making them popular. What the Tories don't realise is that the Tories are the last people in the country to notice that Tony Blair has mad staring eyes. Everybody else has been alive to this for a long time, and Blair has been more and more unpopular for months. And the weird thing is that they went to the trouble, they hired an actor, photographed him, cut the eyes out, turned them upside down, coloured them in red, and computer enhanced them. They are still not as scary as Tony Blair's own. And in fact, the most scary thing is when Tony and Cherry Blair are standing together, both smiling at the same time. If you woke in the night and the Blairs were smiling down at you, you'd soil the sheets, wouldn't you?
Is there just the one question in the whole show? Is it?
Yes. I still think that Sarchi is one of those leftover Scrabble hands at the end of a game.
Mr. Sarchi's latest campaign, putting demonic red eyes on a picture of Tony Blair, was attacked by the actor whose eyes were used, who turned out to be a Labour supporter. He didn't realise how offensive the ads would be until just after the cheque cleared. Right, Miles, whose apology is not all black and white?
You're looking at me, Miles, in the blank way.
Apology?
Yes, apology. Old dear clerk.
Yep.
The man we thought we'd seen the last of. FC?
W.
FW, sorry.
WC.
W. And he said he was sorry about apartheid. He said he was sorry about all the things he'd done. He was just really very, very, very sorry.
It's a bit like treating apartheid like a drinking session and sort of waking up in the morning and thinking, oh, God, what did I do? And phoning round to see if you've offended anybody, isn't it?
F.W. de Klerk, who admitted having made mistakes in the past. He denied having authorised torture, assassination or assault and expressed his profound regret. If he had authorised them, he might still be in charge. When he finished his speech, the crowd leapt to their feet and roared. In a moment of nostalgia, he wired the chairs up. Sandy, welcome back to the news quiz.
Thank you.
Who might waive the rules about the way one rules?
Well, it's Her Majesty. Her Majesty, the dearest queen of them all. This is a fab idea. They're going to slim down the monarchy because there's too many of them hanging, ligging about. And what they're going to do is that the things that we thought belonged to the country will turn out to belong to her. They're called hereditary possessions. And then she'll live off those. But people like Princess Michael of Kent can bugger off. I don't think that's quite how she put it, obviously.
I think she probably did.
There's going to be less of them.
And more money for her.
And they'll all,
right?
They'll all have ID cards with their pictures on.
Yes.
And a microchip saying if their position in line to the throne has changed. Click. Oh.
So you know if a real royal's turned up, you check their ID card.
Are we doing Di's cleavage?
You can if you like.
This was an amazing thing. A security man got into trouble for videoing Di's cleavage in the shop on the closed-circuit TV cameras and homing in on her bust. And I thought, well, this is marvellous. Di must be working for a ring of shoplifters. She's a decoy. And I think that's great, because you see pensioners outside supermarkets been nicked for a tin of beans. But if Di was walking around there with her jugs out, you know, they'd get away with it.
Jeremy, that's how they're going to pay for the monarchy in the end. No. I will go out shoplifting and bring
£8
back
a look.
The story was about the royal family's way ahead committee, which has been discussing what might prepare them best for the next century. The Queen feels she should be free to marry a Catholic, which is something of a surprise to Prince Philip. As the family created its list of ideas, Princess Margaret was particularly keen to turn over a new page, but she does get frisky now and again. So, 2 points to Sandy. Alan, will you listen to this piece of music? Alan, whose identity crisis left them flagging?
I think it's that great and good man, Michael Howard, Simon.
It is.
Who has made a small mistake for only the 143rd time in his life. he's done a deal with Baskerville Robbins to produce identity cards in 78 different flavours. You can have them with a swastika on, or a thistle, or a leek, Star of David, anything you like. They will play Land of Hope and Glory when you approach the customs post. And the main thing about it is you can say any name you like, because it's voluntary anyway. And it's 15 quid, and then you can put any name down, any address, unless you're a criminal. If you're a criminal, it's a discount, because the whole object of these cards is to reduce crime. So if a criminal's prepared to put criminal on his alongside his Union Jack, he gets it for a fiver. I wonder what it's going to have on Michael Howard's identity card. If it has Home Secretary, people will laugh across their legs and fall over, won't they?
It's a bit frightening, the idea of the gradual rationalisation of life. This is what this is about. People say, well, you have to have a credit card, and you have to have a driving licence and a passport and everything. Wouldn't it be better to have it all on one card, so you'll just have one little piece of plastic? It'll be your library card and your cashpoint card and your credit card and your driving licence and your birth certificate and your passport, and you'll lose a bloody thing. Your whole life will snap in half when you're chiselling ice off a windscreen.
The story is a controversy about identity cards. One option that the government considered was having the royal standard alongside the EU flag. This would be very convenient as both institutions are totally dominated by Germans. So, 2 points to Alan, and at the end of round one, the scores are Jeremy and Miles 4, Alan and Sandy 4. Jeremy, how has Roy put Mandy in a spin?
This is Hatters, is it?
It is.
Yeah, Roy Hattersley is a strange man, because we all remember him, we think of him, you know, 10 years ago, and he was sort of firmly on the right wing of the Labour Party, and he's now the sort of radical conscience of Labour. Now, and it's a sign of how bad Labour's got, that absolutely everybody in the Labour Party is on the left, apart from Tony Blair and Peter Mandelson. But that's what it's about, isn't it?
Yep.
Yeah, I'm glad we did that question. You want the answer, you ask me a question, I give you the answer.
Absolutely, yes.
That's the point of the game. You want me to answer gardening tips, I'll do gardening tips.
No, you're quite right. If we cut all the jokes out, we should be out of here in time. The question referred to Roy Hattersley, who's been mouthing off again, which is his personal contribution to solving Yorkshire's water shortage. He criticised spin doctors, and Peter Mandelson in particular, for appearing in the media far too often. Mr Hattersley is a respected writer for The Guardian, The Daily Express, The Daily Mail, The Evening Standard. He made his complaint on GMTV and will be appearing on the News Quiz in 2 weeks' time. Miles, which dancing classes failed to curry favour?
Oh, this is a strange story. I can't remember where it happened.
Corby.
Sorry, that's
what
cheating.
A memory,
that's
Simon. That's true.
These parents thought their children were going to a dancing class, and it turned out they were actually tinning curry. They were putting curry in. They were used as slave labour. And what amazed me, but the parents didn't know. I mean, this is the price you pay for not saying to your child, how was the class? What did you do? Oh, we tinned curry. Get along with you. So I see nothing wrong with this, that when I grow up, I would rather have learnt how to tin curry than dance, because it's... dancing's a lost art these days. And
it could catch on, couldn't it? You would do it like ballet. You go along to Swan Lake and they give you Rogan Josh instead. Good thing.
It's the woman in Corby who claimed she was taking children to Indian dancing lessons but actually took them to work in a curry factory. The parents said they didn't so much mind the curry, but the 16 pints of lager beforehand was a bit... Sumitra Barot expected the children to work all day for a £2.50 box of chocolates. She's now admitted she made a stupid mistake. It would have been much cheaper through the youth training scheme. 2 points from Miles. Sandy, listen to this.
When the mole comes home at crossing the pond, he's still at sea, thinking, wondering, who's he going to take a rowing on the lake? Who's the boy who's full of joy, waving the mole goodbye? Dun, 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 love, dun.
I have to tell you, that piece of music is no help at all.
No, right.
Thanks.
The Andrews.
It's the Andrews, yes.
Who's keeping mum about Dad?
Oh, cool, I know this. This is one of those people who keeps keeping their life very, very private by appearing on the front pages of Hello and saying, I want to keep my life very, very private. And it's our friend Koo Stark, who's famous for being people's friends, isn't she, mainly? And she's now 40, bless her, looking very fab. And a pregnant. But apparently she knows who the father is, which must make a nice change. Did I say that? No, what I mean is, obviously, not for her. What I mean is she's having the baby without the benefit of growing up with the father, because she wants to do it on her own, and she also wants it to be a nice private matter, and so she sold the story to Hello magazine.
No, she wasn't paid for it. She did it free, apparently.
Did she?
Yes,
what did she do free? Is this the shagging one? And why was it the sailor with the navy blue eyes in the music? We don't think it's old, what's name?
Well, I think that was the implication, wasn't it?
Not
oh,
a
really?
Chance.
No, not disgraceful.
She's not...
She's a very nice girl. I won't hear a word against
her. She's not saying... No, she's not saying who the father is to worry at least a dozen people.
Miss Stark was once romantically linked to Prince Andrew. However, Her Majesty the Queen found that Miss Stark lacked the dignity required of a royal wife and told Andrew to find a more suitable bride. Another perfect two to Sandy. And Alan, who gave Britain the lamb chop?
Oh, yes. For you, Tommy, the farming industry is over. The Germans have found a link between mad cow disease and sheep. They did this by capturing two sheep, putting them in a basement, pulling their toenails out until they confessed. We're not selling any lamb at all. There was a better German story in the Telegraph on Tuesday. Well, I mean, a more enjoyable German story about a man called Jacob Prost, who was a prisoner in Dusseldorf jail, and he worked in the mail room. And he put himself in a cardboard box and got a friend to put a label on and posted himself out of Dusseldorf jail. And is still on the loose. Both these stories tell us a great deal about the Germans. And...
So to their postal systems, a complete disaster.
They believe everything they read on labels, yeah. That's the trouble.
if that happened in Britain, you'd post yourself on the day of a postal strike and you'd starve to death.
Germany's chief vet warned the British lamb shouldn't be eaten until it's proof free of mad cow disease. German experts haven't explained how BSE is transmitted in cows and sheep, but it could have something to do with unfaithful shepherds. British scientists remain sceptical, but for real evidence that the herd of sheep can be affected by a mad cow, you only have to look at one of Margaret Thatcher's cabinet meetings. What will we do when she dies? Celebrate. At the end of round two, everybody, 8 points. We start round three with a letter seen in the Redditch Advertiser.
Mrs. Armstrong is absolutely right. We have two trees near us. Last month, all the leaves fell off. I rang the council, and they said there was nothing they could do. This has been happening year after year. It's about time something was done.
Thank you, Mrs. S. Sinclair of Redditch. Jeremy, where is treatment available for terminal illnesses?
Ah, there's a doctor on Victoria Station. Safety is now so bad on the railways, there have to be doctors on the railway. And a very expensive private doctor has set up on Victoria Station, which is part of the breakup of British Rail now that safety has been broken up into two parts called wing and prayer. And so what will happen is, when you're in a train crash and your body is lying in a mangled, twisted, metallic grave, because that section of track has been broken up into independent sections of track, you'll be lying there and saying, get me a doctor, and the rescuers will say, I'm sorry, we don't handle that. You need to contact VicDoc PLC. So that's what it's about.
A doctor's surgery is open beside Platform 1 on Victoria Station. Routine procedures can be carried out while waiting for a train. For example, a pregnancy test. If you're on one of the new privatised lines, you may as well hang around for the birth as well. First patient was a foreign tourist who entered to have his ears syringed. Turned out there was nothing wrong. He'd been listening to the station announcements.
So they've got a list, haven't they? They've got a shopping list. You can kind of say what you want, and apparently on it, one of the things is prostate probe. And you think, well, I'm waiting for the train for Brighton. I might as well.
You can have that done in the toilets for nothing. I have a cousin in the Portuguese Navy. I'm sponsoring him through university.
Miles, your musical clue might be slightly more helpful.
More helpful than what?
And the last one, of course.
Right.
Which expanding universe was told to contract?
It's a strange story about Miss Universe, who has won the title and is getting fatter and fatter, but she's acquired a taste for pasta and junk food, and is probably at Edinburgh, I guess. And she's got so big that she can't get in the sponsored swimsuits or something like this. And they have said that she must be sequestered and slimmed down before she can reappear.
Yes, exactly.
She is called Miss Universe, though. She's not called Miss Tiny Hamlet, is she?
You know how they always say, what do you want to do now? Or Miss Universe, I want to travel the world and be nice to children. She said, I want to eat. That was not... It's true. She put on 6 kilos, apparently.
Miss Venezuela, the current holder of the Miss Universe title, insisted they couldn't take away her sash. It was the only thing holding in her beer belly. However, if she puts on another 6 stone, she'll qualify as a judge next year. Sandy, who told a starry story out of school?
This is a terrible tale of Archibald Leach. Bless his heart. Archibald Leach was expelled from school a very long time ago, and nobody would have cared, except that he became Cary Grant. And there were lots of stories about why he'd been expelled from school, one of which included the fact he'd potentially thrown a chisel at a teacher, which, in all things I ever did naughty at school, nothing ever occurred to me. But he I think...
You didn't do what he's really supposed to have
no,
done.
No, I did. We stole...
You'd have had a hell of a job.
Oh, really? I stole something from a church.
No. He just found them. Well...
What?
I think we'll turn over Jeremy for this, who's our specialist in lavatory stories.
The accusation was that he was found amusing himself.
Yes.
And it's an accusation that can't be tossed off lightly.
I thought he stole something from a church. You see, I thought it was a much nicer story, because he's rather a
child. Well, he may have stolen something that would help turn him on. I mean, there's some very saucy bits here. Song of Solomon, you know, that gets me going, I think.
Alan, what qualification could leave you in a hole?
I'm trying to think whether there's any innuendo in this story, but there probably is. In order to be... I mean, everybody has to have a degree these days. In order to be a navvy, you've got to pass an exam in digging a trench and exposing your bum, drinking 48 pints, and attacking your fellow workers and whistling at women. I can't remember which particular university.
City and Guilds.
Is that a university?
I don't know.
I didn't know that. It wasn't when I was a boy. Anyway, you get a City and Guilds certificate in bearing your bum and digging a shovel. Mm. Wonderful, yes. Well, that's about the top and bottom of it, as it were.
Apparently, they've got, in order for you to get your City and Guilds now, every group of workmen, there's the one who's got a City and Guilds in hole digging, and they go on a course and there's a mock road. And they dig it up and pretend it's not working. And I don't know why they could just do that on the M1.
It's a very tough course, as Alan pointed out. You start off with a small crack, and then when you've got your trousers down far enough, you can be in digging a hole. At the end of round three, the scores are, everybody, 12 points. Jeremy, your last question. Listen to this. Jeremy, what trip takes you across the Milky Way?
These scientists say that chocolate has the same effect as cannabis, and it doesn't. I know this only because I did experiment with chocolate in my youth, although I didn't swallow.
It took 3 years to find out, though, in California, didn't it? California, three scientists, 3 years sitting at chocolate. Are you feeling anything? Passes are twigs.
Certainly certain types of chocolate. One of the scientists ate a whole bar of Toblerone and found he was actually enjoying a Leonard Cohen LP. Miles, how are buses being sent on their way?
We can do this. We can win this. We want to give Germany a chance. Because Germany is an hour or two to work himself up towards this one, so we're getting quickly in the same.
What's the question again?
Mr. Miles.
The answer is...
It's the man from
Del Monte.
Yes.
Oh, is it the... They're squirting zest all over you as you wait for your bus.
Citrus Twist, I think, is the name of the drink. They're producing fragrant bus stops, aren't they? And if you go in these bus stops...
How did you remember?
I looked into your eyes. The infrared devices light up when a customer goes in, and this ad actually starts smelling, and everyone bus queue says, it's not me. Is it you?
Tested and thought it was a cat had come into the bus stop. Entirely successful.
Yes, it's the drink manufacturers Del Monte have produced a device which produces a strong odour at bus stops. The development signals a major change in attitudes. Previously, squeezing a fruit at the bus stop would have been an arrestable offence. Sandy, why might you and your pet find yourselves in a grave situation?
Oh, well, this is quite right and not a minute too soon. There's a very sweet vicar, and he was busy doing vicaring, and he thought, what about all those people who die and love their horses? They must be buried together, obviously. And it was some Mongol tradition, and so you can now, in his cemetery, you can be buried with your pet. You can have your Labrador next to you, or your finch.
Terrible idea. As is rumoured, the graves are all open on the Day of Judgment. I don't want some tattooed bugger's pit bull terrier having me leg off. I'll be lying there for 40 million years waiting to be reborn. I'll be poking your head through the pine lid and it's on you. I think they ought to stop at gerbils. Nothing bigger than a gerbil. I can handle that.
My dog recently killed my children's hamster. And I said to my daughter, well, how did the hamster look? She said, surprised.
Alan, your last question. Where will getting married give a choice of aisles to go down?
Given the tenor of this programme, Simon, it's going to be impossible to get through this. It is fraught with pitfall. B&Q, they're going to do do-it-yourself weddings. Batteries not included. You can go into any B&Q and get a wife down off the shelf. Then you get to the checkout and they say something for the weekend and you say, yeah, well, I'll have 40 metres of PVC guttering and some stone cladding. I'm building a love nest for me and this woman. How much is she? For some reason, these do-it-yourself organisations are going to conduct weddings. Really very, very silly. I mean, the problem is with most... I mean, all of us have gone to buy glass. It's always slightly the wrong size once you get it home.
What are you saying?
Well,
Alan,
I wouldn't want to strap a big woman to the roof of the Volvo and get her... suddenly find it didn't fit. Would you?
No.
You may... Or a big bloke. I mean, big bloke even worse.
You may as well start your marriage in B&Q, because you're going to spend the rest of your marriage in B&Q.
Before we reveal the final scores, let's see what cuttings the teams have brought along. Jeremy.
Right. This is from the Guardian newspaper, and it's from the diary, and it says, newly widowed Stella Cirth has been convicted of a public order offence in Tasmania. Mrs. Cirth has been fined £200 for dancing on her husband's grave and singing Who's Sorry Now?
Miles.
That's another marital one, actually. It's from the Sunday Times, Bird's Eye View, it's called. A couple from Hastings, East Sussex, are selling their parrot because, says Sally Coxedge, it always takes her husband's side in arguments.
Sandy.
Well, this is from a sent in by Diana Fisher from the Huddersfield Daily Examiner. And it's a story about a man whose life was saved by a smoke detector. It was a sheer miracle, considering he'd taken the battery out and taped it to the ceiling. He decided that he was going to have some chips one night, but he fell asleep in a chair directly under the detector. The pan eventually erupted in flames, but the smoke and crackling fat failed to rouse him. Gradually the heat rose, hit the ceiling, and the tape began to peel. The alarm then fell on the man's head, waking him up.
Alan.
Well, so I mean, knowing we were going to have our gala world premiere in Scotland, as we usually do, I've been saving this one since June the 10th from the Shropshire Star. Remember Euro 96? And it says, a Birmingham man who tried to prevent a Dutch Euro 96 fan from putting his hand up a Scottish fan's kilt has been charged with a breach of the peace. A West Midland police spokesman said after last night's incident, until this man, a bystander, took it upon himself to interfere, both the Dutch supporter and the Scotsman seemed perfectly happy with the arrangement.
Thank you all, and now let's look at the final scores. Jeremy and Miles, 15, but Alan and Sandy, this week's winners, with 17 points. Before we leave you, here's a cutting from the big issue sent in by Hector Quine of London.
Greek DIY enthusiast Adonis Papandropoulos first displayed his technical mastery in 1986 when he killed his mother whilst rewiring her electrical chairlift. Since then, he's blown up one house while mending a gas leak and burnt down another by installing faulty solar panels on the roof. But his pièce de resistance came, however, in an effort to unblock his lavatory with a small stick of dynamite. He destroyed not only his own apartment, but the entire block of flats.
And with that, goodbye.
Taking part in the news quiz were Alan Curran, Jeremy Hardy, Miles Kington and Sandy Toksvig. The chairman was Simon Hoggart and the news was read by me, Peter Donaldson. The programme was written by Ian Patterson with Hugh Rycroft and Adam Bostock-Smith. The programme was produced by Alan Evans.